Here's a quick word from our football educational partners over at the Scouting Academy.
Listen, we've said it all the time. If you love the analysis and you're passionate about football, then you really need to check out the Scouting Academy. Whether you're a football coach, aspiring writer, or even aspiring football agent, the Scouting Academy is really a perfect place for you to learn and develop your skills as an analyst. With curriculum that spans over 375 years of coaching and personnel experience, the Scouting Academy offers you a 16-week online course that you can tailor and build to meet your needs and your interests. Whether you're learning about wide receivers or defensive linemen, you can make the experience what you want it to be. Listen, I've said it to you on this podcast many times. I've spent my own money, my own time, and time away from my friends and family because I am just this passionate about this game. And the Scouting Academy is the place where I really feel like I've learned the most I've ever learned about the game of football. It's made me a better analyst. It's made me a better person in terms of the coaching I do on the field. I can't say enough great things about it. If you have any questions about the Scouting Academy, please don't hesitate to reach out to Dan Hatman on Twitter or reach out to the Scouting Academy online via email. I'm open to all questions as well. Heck, I'm still even a student there myself. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I really think that once you learn all the tools and gain the knowledge that they have to offer, I really think you're going to be absolutely excited about the game of football again.
This is the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast.
This is where it all counts. This is why we're here. This is why each one of us are here.
And now, here's your host.
Welcome back to another edition of the Saturday to Sunday Football Podcast. I am Paul Perticchese, and thank you for joining us this evening. If you were following along last week, we started the summer stock report series, a set of mini podcasts to give my thoughts, takes, stock up, stock down, buying, selling on every relevant skill player for every single team in the NFL. Last week, we covered the NFC and AFC East and the NFC and AFC South. We will cover all four of the other divisions this week as well. Also, make sure you go back, check out episode 200 with Heath Cummings of CBS Fantasy Football as well. So we are just days away from the first football game of the season. The Hall of Fame game kicks off this week. We're about a week and a half away from every single team getting their preseason slate going. We are fully immersed now in football. Next week, Matt and I will be back together and we will transition over and turn the page away from the NFL, away from the 2018 rookie class, and we will turn the page to 2019. We've been working hard, watching film on like over 70 prospects and writing the scouting notebook for 2019. And we will do our positional preview shows as we always do in August. We'll do two quarterback shows, two running back shows, two wide receiver shows, and then one tight end show. And then one, you know, week one slash season preview the week leading into Labor Day. So we are getting ready to go. We are close to the season and we're excited. But before we get to that, let's get right into the summer stock report for the NFC North. And let's kick it off with the Atlanta Falcons. Okay, obviously a quarterback, you have Matt Ryan. 2 years ago, he was one of the best players in all of fantasy football, league MVP. Last year, took a step back. His touchdown rate went down. I think he's a buy low opportunity right now. I understand that, you know, some people are valuing him in that like 12 to 15 range, and there's, you know, sexier names and maybe more upside names. I actually think it's the other way. I think Matt Ryan is a rock solid QB1. I think if you're someone who waits to be one of the last people to take your starting quarterback, I love Matt Ryan in that setting. I think he's got a good few years left. I'd be buying him in Dynasty if his cost is inexpensive. I think he's not, is he going to go back to what he did 2 years ago? No, but he's not going to be what he did last year. I think he's going to be a guy who scores 30 to 34 touchdowns. He throws for a good amount of yards. I think he's in for a bounce back year statistically. And I think Ryan makes for a great quarterback. I talked about waiting for Matthew Stafford last week. Matt Ryan's another guy. I'd have no problem waiting, having him as my starter, and then maybe take a high upside guy like a Patrick Mahomes or a Mitchell Trubisky as my backup. at the running back position. Obviously, it's Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, and Ito Smith. Ito Smith was a rookie drafted this year. He's got some PPR receiving type ability. I think he's a year away. If Tevin Coleman leaves in free agency, I could see Ito Smith having some value down the line in that type of role. I don't think he's ever going to be super fantasy relevant, but he could have some PPR weeks, you know, in a year or two, depending on how that backfield shakes itself out. I think he's a little bit more of a late round dynasty rookie stash, like a round four type guy, and kind of stash him, wait and see. Devontae Freeman, while he's still relatively young, you know, in real life, he's had a lot of wear and tear in the NFL already. And I think maybe his elite days are slightly behind him. I still think he's a rock solid low RB1 or great RB2. But I do think that they realize that they have to keep him healthy to maximize his upside and his ability. I do think they got to be a little bit more cautious with his wear and tear, his usage. I think Tevin Coleman's going to see more work during the season this year. You know, at times they just did not utilize Tevin Coleman to the fullest last year. He's a free agent after the year. He'd be my guy. I'd be aggressively buying in any single league I could get my hands on Tevin Coleman. He'd be the guy I want to get, because if he goes in the right spot, you know, similar to what happened with Jerick McKinnon this offseason, Tevin Coleman has a chance to jump up and be a tight RB1 next year in the right spot. Is there some risk? Sure. He can end up somewhere and be just in another committee like he is now, and maybe a committee that's not even as explosive as the Falcons offense is. So there's definitely some concerns there. But right now, if you can get him, you know, somewhat on the cheap and take that approach for I'm guying him for next year and not the immediate, maybe someone who's looking more immediate, you can give him an asset that maybe helps him out more in the immediate, but you maybe could potentially win the deal down the line if Coleman leaves there. So I think that the running back situation is very intriguing. I think Freeman still got some good years left, but I think his best years we've ever seen have already happened. And Coleman is a guy I'd be definitely buying. At the wide receiver position, obviously Julio Jones, one of the handful of top wide receivers in any redraft league, still should be in anybody's top five in terms of dynasty leagues as well. In redraft, I take him after Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown. Brown would be one. Odell would be actually three, and DeAndre Hopkins would be two. So Julio would probably be my fourth in redraft leagues. In dynasty leagues, he'd be pretty much right around the same thing. I still think Julio has a lot of great years left. I think I expect the touchdowns to kind of just take care of itself. Obviously, the new addition at the wide receiver position is Calvin Ridley. Listen, I think too many people were worried about Calvin Ridley and landing in Atlanta. Matt Ryan and the Falcons offense have produced multiple, you know, top 20, top 24 type wide receivers with Roddy White and Julio Jones, in addition to having Tony Gonzalez there. I think I look at it, and Matt and I have been talking about this, you know, for the last year, that we always thought he was best where he could be a number two on a team. And this is the perfect scenario for Calvin Ridley. Sure, maybe in a couple of years he could emerge and be the guy, but right now he's not going to have to worry about double teams. He's not going to have to worry about the best defensive back. I think he's absolutely going to be productive right out of the gate. And I think by next year, we're talking about a guy who's probably a top 30 fantasy wide receiver, in addition to Julio being top five. I love Ridley's overall game, and I think he's going to be a great fit there in Atlanta, and they're really going to maximize the skill set. It's not like they have a lot of other great wide receivers. Obviously, Mohamed Sanu, very solid, steady, more of like a wide receiver 4-5 type now, I think, this year with the addition of Calvin Ridley. And at tight end, Austin Hooper, I think everyone's been waiting for him to kind of break out over the years. I think he is who he is. He's a mid to low tight end two at best. I don't think we're going to see some type of, you know, big resurgence or, you know, big breakout at this point in his career. So that's the Falcons. Let's transition this right over to the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, quarterback, they have Cam Newton, you know, one of the, you know, solid quarterback ones in fantasy football. His rushing production kind of always protects you. Last year, they talked about potentially moving away from him running the ball as much. And after about 4 or 5 weeks, that quickly went by the wayside, because they realized to maximize Cam Newton's skill set, he has to run. And he does have the wear and tear. He does have the body that can withstand some of the wear and tear. And if they don't let him be a runner and be an effective player like that, he's just not really a top level quarterback. His passing is adequate to solid, probably, but what makes him such a good player is the threat of the running, is getting on the move and doing things with his legs. He'd be a guy that I wouldn't actively be buying, wouldn't selling. If the value was good in a redraft league, I'd be okay if he was my starting quarterback. But again, I'd much rather wait to those guys like Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, and then get a guy with some upside as one of those younger quarterbacks like I've been talking about, like a Mahomes or a Trubisky or guys like that. At the running back position, Carolina Panthers obviously have Christian McCaffrey, and then they went out this offseason, late in the offseason, and got C.J. Anderson. Now, C.J. Anderson is a solid between the tackles, more of a two-down runner, a little bit of receiving ability, but that's obviously not going to be his role. I do think he's going to get a decent amount of early down touches, and he could be a weapon near the red zone, but obviously their short yardage runner seems to always be Cam Newton. So I think C.J. Anderson will have a bigger role than Jonathan Stewart had last year. I just think his fantasy, you know, consistency is not really going to be there. If he scores, if he gets 60 yards and a touchdown, sure, you want him playing. But if he gets 40 to 50 yards or 50 to 60 yards and that's it, no receptions, no touchdown, it's going to be a waste of a week. And you probably could have played somebody else with a little bit more upside. I do think the biggest thing about Anderson is he will take away some carries. I think people who wanted Christian McCaffrey to get like 12 to 15 rushes a game and then like 5 to 7 receptions, I don't think he's going to see the 20 touch workload that some people wanted to prior to C.J. Anderson going there. Now, I mean, there was talk that Ron Rivera said he wants to get him 25 third touches. That's not practical. He would get injured. But I do think McCaffrey should get 10 to 12 carries a week and then 5 to 7 receptions. So hopefully he's living in that 16 to 19 range, 17 to 20. Because if he's living in that 17 to 20 range, he's going to be an RB1 in PPR leagues. He's still going to put up, you know, a very good year in terms of total yardage. The touchdowns is always going to be a little bit of an unknown with him because, like I said, between Cam Newton and then they brought in C.J. Anderson, how many short yardage looks does he really get inside the 5-yard line in terms of the run game? That's a wait to be determined and kind of wait it out. And then obviously Cameron Artis Payne just depth at this point. Maybe if McCaffrey or C.J. Anderson goes down with an injury, he's worth the waiver wire pickup because he obviously will get some use. At the wide receiver position, they have Devin Funchess. Obviously, he became their number one wide receiver last year. I'm not a huge Funchess guy. I'd actually be looking to sell him if people are still looking at him as a top 24 wide receiver. I think he was more a product of opportunity and target and workload than being a really good talent that's going to produce those consistent fantasy stats year in and year out. They went out and signed Torrey Smith. It's going to be a vertical stretch to real top, stretch to field type guy. I would expect little to no fantasy value from him. But obviously the guy that intrigues everybody is DJ Moore. They invested a first round pick on him. I think sooner rather than later, he will develop into their number one wide receiver. How that automatically impacts in the fantasy relevance, though, is yet to be determined because he might outproduce or out-target Devin Funchess, but you still have Christian McCaffrey, who's going to get 100 to 110 targets probably. You still got Greg Olsen. So you have guys there that are going to kind of take up a big target share. I think DJ Moore is a good talent. I think he's going to emerge and become the wide receiver one there, but I'm not sure his, you know, people look at him and think his upside is so significantly higher than Calvin Ridley because Calvin Ridley is playing side along Julio Jones, and I'm not sure Moore's upside is any higher than Calvin Ridley because, you know, the Falcons aren't feeding their running back, you know, 80 to 100 catches like C.J. McCaffrey's going to get. You know, Austin Hooper's not going to get the Greg Olsen target workload. So I do think there's a good few years, maybe after Olsen leaves, Moore could become that guy who gets 130 targets, but I don't think that's any time in the near future. In the first couple of years of his career. And then, but again, Moore's a guy who late round one, early round two of rookie drafts, I think makes sense. I would not complain with that value at all. And then obviously Curtis Samuel, I think he's a little bit of a stash, a little bit of a gadget player, wide receiver, running back. See what you can do with him. A little intriguing. In the tight end position, I already mentioned Greg Olsen. If you need a guy for this year, I think he's right there in the mix with guys like Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph. You know, I'd rather gamble, obviously, on a guy like Evan Ingram or Trey Burden. I think their upside's higher, but I think Olsen is a safe play where you know what you're getting. But I do think he could lose some production this year with the addition of DJ Moore, you know, and if Curtis Samuel's around at all. So I wouldn't be overdrafting Greg Olsen, but I think he could be fine, you know, in that tight end 7 to tight end 10 range for this upcoming year. And then the guy who intrigues me at the tight end position is Ian Thomas, tight end at Indiana. I would love to get my hands on him in any 2 tight end leagues or dynasty or tight end premium leagues in dynasty leagues. Because I think Thomas, if you could wait it out and stash him on taxi squad, I do think he could develop into a starting tight end and be an effective one, well-rounded, can block, can catch, can be on the field a lot. I think he could emerge and be the successor to Greg Olsen in a couple years. Let's take this to the New Orleans Saints. At the quarterback position, obviously you got Drew Brees, still one of the top five or six quarterbacks in redraft leagues. Those guys could always be had pretty cheap in the dynasty format as well because the age. If I had Drew Brees, I don't think I'd be giving him away in the dynasty format. I think you just ride it out because you're not going to get back fair value. And I'm okay even buying him in dynasty if the cost is reasonable. If someone says, oh, give me a late second round rookie pick for Drew Brees, I'll do that trade, over and over, if you need a quarterback, because I think you're still going to get really good production for a couple years. Behind him, Tom Savage, not really worth mentioning, but Taysom Hill's a guy who intrigues me. The Saints have talked him up a little bit, really athletic kid from BYU. If you're in the deepest of dynasty leagues or two quarterback leagues, and there's spots that you could just kind of hold guys for years, I like Taysom Hill as a guy that I would kind of get on my roster real late and just kind of stash him away and wait and see. I do think they like him a lot, so it's going to be intriguing to see if he has a shot down the line to emerge in the Drew Brees' successor, but really athletic kid, definitely would get some value with his rushing ability as well. At the running back position, obviously Alvin Kamara burst onto the scene last year, one of the top dynasty running backs. I put him in redraft probably at six in dynasty, maybe one or two spots higher, probably one spot higher. I think I'd rather have Alvin Kamara on my roster than Le'Veon Bell in a dynasty type format in PPR. But Kamara, I think he's a guy who can handle a bigger rushing workload than Christian McCaffrey. I hope Alvin Kamara ends up seeing, 12 to 14 or 12 to 13 to 15 rushes a game. And then, five to six receptions. I hope he ends up being in that 18 to 20 range. I doubt he will be this year. I think maybe next year if Mark Ingram moves on, he might, because I still think if you only give him about, 12 to 14 rushes, I still think you're not overdoing it with him and wearing him down, especially, if you're not asking him to run, just pound the line of scrimmage, and wasting the carry on that. He's a guy who, again, his value is really high, so I don't think he's a guy you could actively be buying, but I wouldn't be selling him if you have any doubts that maybe last year was a little fluky. I don't think it was. I think he's an elite type talent. Obviously, Mark Ingram is an intriguing guy because you don't really know what to do with Mark Ingram. He had a fantastic RB1 season last year, and when he gets back from suspension, they probably are going to use him a lot, but this is probably his last year in New Orleans. He's already up there, like 29 years old. What is the market going to be for him next year? Is he going to get a clear-cut starting role or at least lead role in a committee, or is he going to just kind of be, picked up by somebody and kind of mixed in, in maybe a cluttered backfield or with another young player with a lot of upside? So I think if you have Mark Ingram, you kind of wait it out for the suspension. You see how he does when he comes back. If he starts putting up, top 12, top 15 RB weeks like he was doing last year, maybe you try to sell him later in the year if you don't need him to try to win for yourself. Like if you're in a dynasty league and somebody needs a running back for the home stretch, midseason or the latter third of the season, I'd be okay if the price was right for Ingram, because I am a little concerned about long-term value. But if people are equally as worried, then just kind of wait it out and see what he does. He could be an effective RB2 for you this year, and he still could be an RB2 for a couple years after this if he ends up in the right landing spot. After that, just some flyers on guys like Jonathan Williams, Boston Scott, Trey Edmonds. I don't think any of those guys are rosterable right now in any type of deep dynasty league. At the wide receiver position, obviously Michael Thomas, one of the top five or six or seven wide receivers in all of dynasty, late round one, early round two, redraft value, absolute stud. It's a lock for, I think, 90 to 95 catches, 1,100 to 1,200 yards and probably double-digit touchdowns, upside through the roof. His value as a guy, I wouldn't be actively looking to move him. If you want to buy him, it's going to cost you a lot. After him, they went out and signed Cameron Meredith. I like him in redraft. I think he's a great late round flyer to see if he kind of emerges there and gets healthy and puts up some good stats there. New Orleans doesn't have a lot of other good players in the wide receiving spectrum and tight ends that are going to be consistent producers. So I wouldn't mind taking a stab on Cameron Meredith late in drafts as well. Maybe you can even get him in a dynasty setting as like a fifth wide receiver or something like that. I'd be okay with that. Obviously, Ted Ginn there, stretched the field, vertical threat, had a pretty solid year there for New Orleans. I think he is who he is. He's a best ball player, maybe a wide receiver five. Some weeks he'll be great. Other weeks he'll give you, one catch for 8 yards. And then obviously another guy that intrigues me is Tre'Quan Smith. They took him in the third round. That's a pretty hefty investment, for an offensive skill player. I think he's going to get a chance to emerge there. And by year two, he could be the starter alongside Michael Thomas. So I think he's a great third round rookie pick. in that mix there with guys like Deshaun Hamilton, Kiki Kuti, Jamon Moore. You know, I like Tre'Quan Smith right there in that group after like Dante Pettis and Antonio Callaway. And then at tight end position, really all they have is veteran Ben Watson. If you need someone late in a redraft league, if you're kind of playing tight end streaming or just kind of gambling on a couple guys late in your draft, I think Watson will see a decent amount of targets. Drew Brees always tends to look for his tight end. Or if you need a stopgap in a two tight end league, you know, you could probably get Ben Watson really cheap and kind of get him on your roster. And let's finish out the NFC North with the Tampa Bay Bucks. Obviously, quarterback Jameis Winston had a good fantasy productive year last year when he was healthy. Then this year, now he gets suspended the first 4 weeks. I think it might be an opportunity to buy low on him because of the suspension. I think he's going to be a very good fantasy quarterback once he gets back. I think he has a lot of weapons. I think, you know, his upside is just as high, if not higher, than a guy like Marcus Mariota, even though I'm intrigued by Mariota's skill set this year in the new offense. But I think Winston, really good player, loved him coming out of college. You know, I think he has like that Ben Roethlisberger type vibe. He's willing to, you know, he could withstand hits, move around the pocket, hard to take down, a little bit of a gunslinger mentality at times. But I think Winston's still a guy who can rise up and become a perennial top 8, top 10 fantasy quarterback. But I don't think right now that's where he might be being valued because of that. In a redraft league, I don't mind taking him. If it's a league that takes two quarterbacks and you go and get somebody, like I said before, like a Stafford or a Ryan or a Cousins as your starter, if you don't want to go a super young guy like Trubisky or Mahomes as your second quarterback, go out and get Jameis Winston. He's probably going to be sitting there late in drafts, and he might develop and become even better than a guy like Ryan or Stafford or Cousins this year once he gets back. At the running back position, obviously they have some holdovers from past years, Peyton Barber, last year rookie, Charles Sims 2 years before that. Peyton Barber right now been running with the ones, tough, aggressive, between the tackles type runner. Charles Sims, you know, more of a third down, change of pace, receiving back. But obviously, I think Ronald Jones is going to take control of this backfield sooner rather than later. I think Peyton Barber is going to be in the mix because I don't think Ronald Jones is a guy who can handle 20 to 24 touches. But I think he can live in that 15 to 17 or 15 to 18 touches, making him a RB2 maybe as early as this year. Big play threat there. But I think Peyton Barber is a good, you know, between the tackles, short yardage type runner that can pound it a little bit. So he's probably going to have some value. It's just going to be hard to know when. But, you know, he'd be a guy that maybe if you draft Ronald Jones, maybe you take Barber just in case, you know, Jones doesn't emerge as quick as we thought. But I don't really think Barber and Sims have too much value. I think Jones is the guy, should be going top five of any rookie draft right now. And I'd be okay drafting him as an RB2 in redraft formats as well. At the wide receiver position, obviously Mike Evans, you know, top 8 type wide receiver in redraft, dynasty. He's had some inconsistency in his early part of his career, like an elite year, a good year, an elite year, stuff like that. I think this year, I think he's going to be very good. I'm not going to say he's going to be elite. I'm not going to say he has a chance to be top 2 or top 3. I do think there's more, you know, more assets to spread the ball around this year, you know, more at Jameis Winston's disposal. I think Chris Godwin is a guy who I absolutely love. I'd be looking to buy him everywhere right now. If you can get him for a late second round rookie pick, I'd probably sell him. If you can get him for a third round early rookie pick, I would definitely do it. I think he's a guy you got to wait on a little bit because you don't know how long DeSean Jackson's going to be there. He's a guy who, again, I think is more of a wide receiver four this year, DeSean Jackson, very inconsistent, you know, more of a best ball player in my mind. But in some leagues, you know, he's a decent wide receiver four slash flex. But we don't know how long he's going to be there. If he's only there this year, then Chris Godwin could emerge by as early as next year. But even in that scenario, they still have multiple tight ends who I'll get to in a second who will be a big part of it, and they still have Mike Evans there. But kind of like I was saying about Calvin Ridley before, if you believe in the talent, there's enough to go around in today's NFL that two wide receivers can be top 24. You could have a top 10 and then another guy who puts up, you know, low wide receiver two or high wide receiver three stats. And I think that could eventually be the case with Godwin. I think he'd probably be more of like a wide receiver three. I think Ridley could get a little bit higher than that. But I do like Godwin, depending on what the person who owns him is, if they want something more immediate. Maybe they get a little antsy if he starts out slow this year again. Keep an eye on Godwin, see what it would cost to get him now, and just kind of maybe keep checking in on his owner as well. And then after that, Justin Watson, a rookie from this year, intrigues me a little bit. If DeSean Jackson leaves, he could maybe develop into their slot wide receiver. To me, you know, the athletic type, really athletic, hard to cover in the slot there. Good compact physical frame as well. I like his route running ability. He's a guy to kind of keep on the back of your radar. If you have deep leagues, a taxi squad, I wouldn't mind getting Justin Watson as a long-term play and kind of see, you know, how it shakes out next year with DeSean Jackson. You know, does Godwin develop like so many think, and, you know, Watson potentially emerging as well. And at the tight end position, obviously OJ Howard and Cameron Brate. Everyone thought this was going to be the OJ Howard really developed, but instead, you know, Cameron Brate signed the big money contract extension as well, so it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I think OJ Howard is still a guy to be buying. I would use the discussion of Cameron Brate and that contract as to buy OJ Howard cheaper now than what he cost last year when he came out. I think this year in redraft leagues, he's probably a tight end too. You know, he's going to have some spike weeks here or there. You won't get a lot of consistency. I think Cameron Brate could be a tight end too at times this year as well, but I'd obviously rather gamble on the high upside of OJ Howard. So there is the NFC South in the books. I will be back tomorrow with the AFC South. Make sure you catch up on all the previous ones from last week as well. Make sure you get on iTunes, rate, review, subscribe, Stitcher, any of the Google platforms. We greatly appreciate that, and that helps us grow. So on behalf of our sound and tech engineer, David Nakano, and myself, thank you for joining us, and we look forward next time taking you from Saturday to Sunday.